again. So glad to see each of you here and all of you tuning in. Let us know that you're tuning in. Send us a message, put a comment in. Let us know who you are and that you're watching, and we appreciate it. And I want to share with those who are online that you may want to go grab a piece of bread and find some grape juice if you have it. If you don't have grape juice, get the closest thing you got, because we're going to do communion at the close of the service, and you can participate with us, and it's very powerful. I just was talking to Evelyn and asking how her eyes were, and she was just sharing how the numbers have really gone down, which is good. The pressure has really gone down in her eyes, and she said, it was at communion, Pastor Joe, when we were taking communion, and you said that my eyes are going to be better. And she went to the doctor, and that week she got the report. Amen? So I believe God's going to do some miracles today. Amen. He's going to do some miracles. And those of you online can experience that just as much. God's not limited to time and space. All right, let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Kids can go ahead on down. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a guy was standing before a judge, and the judge asked, what do you plead? And the guy said, not guilty. I was minding my own business. I was just sitting in a recliner in some nice new pajamas. I picked out a DVD and was watching it on the big screen. Started digging into one of those roasted chickens and broke open a half gallon of ice cream when the Walmart security guy called the cops. About five of you got that one. Well, the guy really wasn't minding his own business. He was exploiting someone else's business. I like to mind my own business. I don't like getting into other people's business. Unless they're lying public figures, then I get into their business. But I don't want that to be interpreted that I don't care. I don't want that to be thought, because that's not true. I do care. I'm just not a very confrontative person. And I've had enough drama in my life, especially the last 15 years, and I'm kind of done with drama. And I'm just one of those guys that's like, you know, I'm going this way. If you want to follow along with me, let's go. And let's leave all the drama behind. But at the same time, please tell me your business. Please, I do care. If you need to share something, I will listen. I might not say anything. And that doesn't mean that I'm not listening. Because there's some people that talk and they don't listen to you when you're talking to them. I listen to you and I won't talk. I'll take it with me. I'll pray about it, and God may speak something to me. Then I'll talk. But again, don't feel, you know, because I don't like getting into people's business that I don't care. Well, God has been really speaking to me the last week or so about getting into your business. I need to get into your business. There are times God really gets into my business. And that's been happening a lot through my Bible reading lately. And I'm very challenged to preach a message that's not very popular in the church world today. And those of you online, do not touch the exit button, because I'm going to preach about sin. Now, the Bible talks about sin. So I have to talk about it. Not many churches do that anymore. A lot of self-proclaimed Christians totally embrace sin as part of their life, their lifestyle, still consider themselves disciples. Now, my object is not to throw guilt upon you that'll cause you to run away from God. That's I'm not doing anything good by doing that. So I'm not guilting you, but My prayer is that the loving conviction of the Holy Spirit touches your heart and makes you say, oh, I want to be more pleasing to Him. I want to be more pleasing to Him. Not guilted into that. But the Bible is very clear about disapproving of things that our culture and even many churches today fully approve of and even encourage. So we come to 1 Corinthians 5, and the Apostle Paul is getting into their business. He says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Some of your Bibles may say fornication. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. So there was somebody in the church there that had an illicit relationship with apparently a stepmother. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I, indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan. Whoa. For the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. Take your Bible, your phone, whatever you use as your Bible, lift it up, and would you repeat this after me? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert, and my spirit is open, and I'm ready to receive the word, and I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, this is the first epistle or letter to the Corinthians. Now, Corinth, where the Corinthians lived, was a very sinful place, very sinful city. It sat on an isthmus, which is a narrow piece of land between two larger pieces of land. Isthmus, a little skinny piece of land. And it was between the mainland of Greece and the large Peloponnesian Peninsula down there. And it connected that area. And so there was a lot of traffic there going between these two very populated areas at that time. And then not only that, but you had the water. And instead of going all the way around the Peloponnesian Peninsula, which there were rocks and storms and all kinds of danger, that a lot of ships would go in through here, and they would literally roll the ships across this little piece of land because it was so narrow. They'd roll the ships on rollers so they'd go into the Ionian Sea from the Aegean Sea. So you had traffic going from east to west and north and south, and it was a very busy city, and as a result, it was kind of a sin city. And there was a lot of things going on in that city, and there was every form of indulgence and pleasure that was merchandised there. And so the Apostle Paul, he had gone there years before he wrote this letter, and he preached, brought the gospel into the city, and a lot of signs and wonders happened. A lot of miracles took place, and a revival broke out in the city, and a great church was formed. That was the Corinthian church. But being in that wicked place, in that very worldly city, very cosmopolitan city, a lot of the values of that city slithered into the church. a lot of the people came out of very sinful lifestyles, and they didn't really know what was good, what was evil. Their culture taught them one thing, etc., when the Bible taught another thing. And so there had to be a lot of teaching on holiness and right and wrong and what is sin and what isn't. And yet something happened in the Corinthian church where there were actually two problems. First, there was this one individual that was in the church that Paul is addressing there who was in sin and, like I said, in an illicit and wrong relationship with a stepmother. There was an incestuous relationship which was strictly forbidden by the Old Testament. In fact, it was such a strong law in the Old Testament, I think it was a capital offense. I think you could get killed for doing that sin. And so it was very serious and very perverse. And so this was one problem. But the worst problem was the attitude of the church, the Corinthian church. That was really what Paul was getting to, because they were tolerating this. And in fact, maybe they were more than tolerating it. They were kind of proud about it. And it says in verse 2, "And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned." Paul was thinking, guys, you got this terrible sin happening in your church and you're not mourning about it. You're actually puffed up. And the picture is of a rooster, you know, all feathers out and chest out, prideful. Prideful? Prideful in what? Well, I think they had a pride about being gracious or open-minded. We don't judge people in our church. Something that they probably said. Now, we have to be really careful about getting a religious spirit too. All right? This is a caution, because God is gracious towards sinners. God wants sinners to come. If you're here and you're not perfect, God is so happy that you're here. Okay? Those of you watching, it's not by accident you're watching. God set this all up. And he loves you, even if your life is messed up and in all kinds of sin. And so we have to have a gracious attitude. We have to be loving. We have to be patient with people. People don't know right and wrong. They've been taught in their schools. They've been taught in their homes. Their examples provided for them by their parents and all kinds of things have left them with a completely warped sense of right and wrong. The culture, Hollywood's thrown stuff at them. And so when they come to church and they're newbies, we have to be gracious. We have to give them room to grow, to learn, to for God to deal with them and let God do the work. You know, I've often said it. Don't do the Holy Spirit's work. He's better at it. You don't have to be junior Holy Spirit, okay? God is adequate to do that. But at the same time, you have to teach on sin and right and wrong. And there are churches today that don't even teach that, and they are prideful. It says in verse 6 here, your glorying is not good. They were actually glorying in this. I'm thinking, how could churches glory in sin? And I started thinking about some churches, even in our own town, that would put on their marquee, we are loving, we are accepting, we are inclusive. And yeah, okay, we have to be inclusive. We want to welcome all kinds of different people. But they do it as a boast, not as an invitation to grow and mature in Christ and become more like Christ. They are boastful in that and almost prideful in how inclusive they are. And you'll see it on their websites. Come to our church. We don't judge. And it's true, and they never judge. They never expect a change in behavior. They never expect growth spiritually. Just come as you are and stay as you are. And that's not acceptable. And that's what was probably happening here. There was probably a believer who should have known better by this time, should have known that this was wrong, and the church should have known that this was wrong and lovingly corrected this person, but they let it go too far to where it was actually, I think if you read on, or I was reading a commentary or something, that word spread across the community about this. Look at what this church does. And it was a bad witness for Christ. So Paul had to get into their business because they weren't taking care of business properly. Last week I talked about becoming disciples. And I really feel like Jesus is giving us a precious invitation to become his disciples. God wants disciples today. People who are so close to him. Not just converts. Not just churchgoers. But Jesus wants disciples. You know, I share every week, and I'm going to pound it in your brains, in your spirits. Our mission as a church, our vision and mission statement, BRIDGE, each one of those letters stand for something. We want to be a bridge between heaven and earth. But all those things stand for something as to how we become that bridge between heaven and earth. And the D, and each month I emphasize one of those letters, and this is D month, which stands for discipling. Our mission statement, our vision says this: discipling men, women, boys, and girls with the teachings of Christ and the Bible. That's one of our missions. That's one of our goals. That's one of the things that we need to do and do good as best as we can. Discipling men, women, boys, and girls with the teachings of Christ and the Bible. And a secondary phrase we use is discipling ourselves and one another. So we are making ourselves disciples of Christ, and then we want to go and make disciples. Now, I talked last week about how a disciple is, it's teaching plus relationship. Discipleship is teaching plus relationship. It's not just teaching, and it's not just relationship, but it's those two together. That makes a teacher and a disciple, a master and a disciple. And the teaching and relationship of discipleship is supposed to lead towards a certain outcome. And that outcome is for each of us to be more like Christ. That's what, if we want to be disciples of Christ, we want to become more like Christ. And if we are to go and make disciples, we need to be disciples. We need to be like our master. And the question is, are we tolerating sin in our own lives? That's the question God is asking. Are we tolerating sin in our own lives? And by the way, like I always say, I'm not preaching to your wife. I'm not preaching to your husband. I'm not preaching to your rebellious kids. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. But seriously, let's stop looking at everybody else's faults and let's work on our lives. And the good news is that God helps us, and I'll get to that. But look at this, man. This is the Bible. Sorry. Sorry, MSNBC. Sorry, Hollywood. Sorry, public school system. Here we go. The Apostle Paul made it very clear. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Ooh, that hurts. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians. Listen, guys, let's just make this clear. Be loving, be accepting, help people. Don't forget this. This is very important. And I know people struggle with things that are on this list. People struggle with addictions. People struggle with same-sex attraction. It's very real for a lot of people. And we need to have compassion. But at the same time, whatever it is, and again, sometimes we just load up all kinds of ammo on the homosexual, while there's a lot of heterosexual sin going on. We can't forget that. And so what we need to realize that just because we have certain desires, that we don't have liberty to just go and fulfill them. Our world is telling them, if you feel it, then it's right and do it. That's ridiculous. They don't really believe that. Because if you go and like steal something of theirs because you feel like it, they will disagree with you. I'm telling you, I have some pretty strong feelings about some things. I want my neighbor's boat. I'm not talking the ones on either side of me with their little pontoon boats. I'm talking about that cigarette boat, you know, that 586,000 horsepower thing down a few houses in the canal. I want it. But that doesn't give me the liberty to just go and take it, right? You can't act on just because you have a feeling, even if it's a strong feeling, that's not an indication. The indication of what's right and wrong and what you can or can't act on is here. That's what helps you to determine what me and you have to, how we need to discern things. And there's no victimless crime, or victimless sin. You know, some people say, well, you know, whatever we do in the privacy of our own bedroom or whatever, that's you know, we're consenting adults and I'm not hurting anybody, we're not hurting anybody. Well, if you're participating in it, you're causing that other person to sin. So it is there is a victim. Even if that person wants that, you are still causing them to sin. If someone dear to us says, I want to commit suicide, are we just going to say, oh, go ahead, whatever you want? No, we get into their business, right? And so there is no victimless. You know, if I go take my neighbor's cigarette boat, I will end up in jail, by the way. But that person becomes a victim of my sin. There's all kinds of things. So what about drunkenness, how that affects our families and our loved ones, children, etc.? You know, pornography, that's victimless. No, it isn't. The use of pornography makes those girls and guys into victims. They're victims. How about the fact that you're causing the directors to commit sin? And you're causing the website owners to commit sin? And you're participating. You might say, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. Well, at least you're not sinning anymore. Okay? So, it's tough stuff. And then you go on this list, it says, nor revilers will inherit the kingdom of God. Revilers. What's a reviler? Facebook. Twitter. That's reviling. I looked up the word. What does reviler mean? Well, it means railing. You know, like railing on somebody. This is one I have some trouble with. Okay, I see stuff happening in the world, and I want to rail. And I've had to really work on this, and I don't always win. But I'm a lot better than I used to be. Railing, we got to be careful about that. Reviling. One thing, this doesn't mean that you should stay silent on things, but it's the way you say it. So that's what the Lord was speaking to me. I'm like, but Lord, this is not right. This has to be confronted. The Bible even says in some places to expose the deeds of darkness. I got to expose what this is. People are getting deceived. And so what the Lord spoke to me is, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if you're reviling, if you're cutting people down and really victimizing them, that's one thing. If you're educating them, that's another. Those are two different things. So, boy, I have wanted to blow up many times. And then there's extortion. I was like, well, what does extortion mean? It sounds like something, you know, the mob does, or what's extortion? Well, it's making somebody do something under threat. So you're like, do this or else. And I was thinking, Man, I hear about this all the time. I hear about this from people who tell me, say, Pastor, my boyfriend, my girlfriend says they're going to break up with me if I don't sleep with them. That's extortion. That's I'm going to do something under threat. And God said, that's not acceptable behavior. That's not what a disciple does. And so I used to do a sermon. I called it the church shrinkage sermon. And every year I went through all the sin lists. Let's make clear what is sin and what isn't. And just went all through these lists, you know. Got great attendance this week. Let's see what happens next week. All right. But here's the good news. Let me close on some good news. Look at this. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And probably in Corinth, and such were most of you in that wicked city. And we live in a wicked culture today. And so, such were some of you. But watch this. But, say but. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. See, something happens to the person that turns, that's in sin and turns to God and says, God, help me. God, do something. Forgive me. The forgiveness comes. But this is more than just forgiveness. I believe this is actual power to live right. You were sanctified. That means set apart. And you were justified by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives us power to live right. We just need to lean on Him more. When we're tempted, and I'm tempted like everybody else, I get tempted to do all kinds of things. But I have to lean into the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you right now. You know, the Bible talks about it. He will, I think it's in 1 Corinthians later on, chapter 9 maybe, that He will provide a way of escape for you. And this is the thing. You got to ask the Lord what your way of escape is. And God has given me a number of escapes, you know, when I'm just, whatever, really down or discouraged and I'm like, I haven't touched the bottle in 36 years, but boy, it's looking real good right now. What do I do about it? I say, Lord, help me. What should I do? And He'll give me something. One of my favorites lately is, with all this COVID, I mean, this is just, you're tempted to be depressed. You're tempted to be down. You're tempted to be angry. You're tempted all kinds of ways. And I said, God, how are you? Help me. And I have this piece of property up in Jeddo. I turned that place into a national park. I mean, I got trails, I got parking areas, I got fire pits. And that was my way of escape all through this whole COVID crisis. God will give you something. You've got to, in fact, you need to ask Him for that way, because what you need to do is fill yourself up with good things. And it'll push out the bad. Find good things to take your time, to fill your mind, to fill your activities. Find things. There are so much in God's wonderful created order. We don't need to sin to have fun. There is so much joy in this world, so many things to enjoy, that we don't have to go to these other things that we have become dependent upon. So this is good news. And I close with the fact that something powerful happened with the guy in 1 Corinthians 5 who was in this illicit relationship, and we learn about it in the second epistle to the Corinthians. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, which came after that, and in chapter 2, verse 5 of that letter, he says, "Don't be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man." So apparently the church acted on Paul's rebuke and they did something with this man and exacted some form of punishment. Maybe it was kicking him out of the church or something. They did something. Verse 7, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. So guess what? He repented. That guy repented. He came and he dealt with this thing. The church dealt with him. He dealt with his issues. And now Paul is saying, don't crush the guy. Now, welcome him back in fully. Verse 8 says, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. Remember he said, I judged him. You know, a lot of people say, judge not, judge not. Paul says, I judged him. But here he says, I forgive him. If you've forgiven him, if you feel he is sufficiently repented, then I have forgiven him. For indeed, if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So remember, he said, turn him over to Satan. Sometimes a person has to go through hell in their life, in their body, in whatever. Satan has to torment them till they get to bottom and say, okay, I'm turning back to you, God. And so Paul says, okay, now forgive him. Don't crush him. Don't let Satan destroy him. You need to help him. So the repentance of the man started with the repentance of the church, of their puffed up hyper grace. They inflicted judgment on the man, and he repented. So Paul says, don't crush him, comfort and encourage him. And the bottom line is this one verse or two verses. Bottom line, back in 1 Corinthians 6, think about this when you are tempted in any of these areas. It says, or do you not know that your body, Christian, your body, believer, your body, disciple, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. We're going to go into communion here. We welcome any of you to participate who would like to. And before we do that, I want to just take some time. Maybe, Jessica, if you could come to the piano and just play softly. I want us to take some time and really examine ourselves. And those of you online, grab something. Grab a piece of bread. Grab some juice. Join with us. But 1 Corinthians, later on in chapter 11, I read it often when we have communion. But the Apostle Paul, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What's the Lord's death? That was his death on the cross that paid for your sins, for my sins. That's what we are remembering. So we're remembering that there's a way out of sin. There's a way of forgiveness. There's a way of grace when we take communion. And now watch this. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, you're not taking this seriously. You're not reverently. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. In fact, if you're not perfect, you really need to have communion. But he's saying if you're doing it irreverently or just, you know, without care. But look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, because they just aren't realizing what's available, the healing that's available in Christ and the forgiveness. And so they're sick and they die. But look at verse 31. Here's the key. For if, wow, this is powerful. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I mean, that's mind-boggling. God gave to us the opportunity to judge ourselves so we don't have to be judged by Him. If we judge ourselves now, we say, God, I have failed. I have desires and I have yielded to them. And God, I need to get out of that. I need to live for You. That's judging yourself. God, help me. I repent. I turn. Lord, help me today. Help me to do life right today. Help me to do life right tomorrow. Lord, that's judging yourself. And if you do that, He won't judge you. You're free because He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins already. It's all done. So it's just you need to apply it to yourself. So we're going to take these next moments just to judge ourselves. And I also want people to be careful. Don't condemn yourself, like I said. Don't condemn yourself. Don't get all caught up in your sins to where it just drags you down. But again, we do need to be honest with God and just say, God, I need You here, there, I need You. Would you do that in these next moments before we take communion? Hold on to these emblems. Don't open them up yet, but we're going to do this together after we take a time of self-examination. And if you want to come to the altars, you're free to do that as well. If you want to just really press in for a few moments, let's do that, and then we'll partake together. Hallelujah, Lord. Just you and the Lord right now, wherever you are at your seat, or again, if you'd like to come, just take some. Come on, just ask Him. Ask Him to change you. Lift up that area in your life you know you need Him to invade. Lift up that area in your life you know He needs to get in your business. Let Him do business. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray You break chains today. I pray that You would move in our midst and that You would set people free, God. Jesus. That, Lord, there would be a fresh cleansing in every life. And for those who are here today and they're rejoicing because they are free and they haven't been dealing with issues, God, let them just rejoice in You. And if that's you, you pray for the rest of us. Hallelujah, that need is grace. Ramataka. Your power break through, Lord. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say for someone, or maybe it's more than one person, this is your day of freedom.
Amen.
This is Independence Day.
Hallelujah.
October 11th, 2020 is Independence Day.
Thank you, Jesus. Whew.
A little bit, I'm going to speak the Hebrew, ancient Hebrew blessings over the bread. And I'm going to ask you to break it with me. Break your little wafer, because there's something about the breaking of bread, and it symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body for our healing. And so I'm going to speak the ancient Hebrew blessings, and I'm going to believe God to heal people in this room. If you need a miracle, when that bread is broken, just believe it. Believe and receive your miracle, whatever your need is physically. And then we're going to take the cup and believing for Christ's blood that paid for our forgiveness to just course through your body, every part of your being. Remember, when we're taking communion, we're thinking about how Jesus died for us and forgave us for our sins. His The bread is his body that was broken for us, and the juice is our represents his blood that was shed to forgive us of our sins. All right, take your little piece, your wafer, a little piece of bread, hold it in your hand. And again, I'm going to ask you to break it with me after I speak the Hebrew blessing. Those of you online, if you have your little piece of bread or a cracker or something, hold on to it and break it with me after I pray this prayer. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotze lechem min haaretz. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and has given us the bread of heaven, Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's break the bread. Come on. Break it. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, somebody had a rib issue, you're hurting the ribs or bruised ribs, or maybe you had a broken rib. God wants to heal you. Maybe on the right side. Just receive that healing right now. So somebody's feeling heat in some part of your body right now. That's God's healing power. I don't know where it is, but you're feeling a heat. That's God's healing power. Just thank him for it right now. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Sore throat's gone now in Jesus' name. Any infection, go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, some kind of ear, nose, throat problem, God's healing right now. In Jesus' name. Problem breathing, maybe it's allergies or asthma. God wants to heal that right now. Just receive your healing. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And whatever your need is, just receive it, healing right now for it. Let's partake together if you haven't yet. Thank you, Lord. And then he took the cup. You can take your cup. And Jesus said, Baruch hata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam bore peri hagafen. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine and has given us the blood of Messiah Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice. Praise your name, Lord. I feel like the Lord's saying somebody has really been hurt about a relationship issue, and there's just a real pain and a hurt. God's healing that right now. Just let him heal that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just praise him. Let's stand. Stand if you can. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the power you give us to live right. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're honest enough with us, God, to tell us what we need to know. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. We magnify you. Hallelujah.